boy the way Glenn Miller played.
Songs that made the hit parade.
Guys like they had it made.
Those were the days.
All in the Family.
And you knew where you were then.
Dance for girls and men, woman. Mister, we could use a man like Herbert Hoover again.
Starring Carol O'Connor, Gene Stapleton. Co-starring Rob Reiner, Sally Struthers. Developed for American TV and produced by Norman Lear. Archie Bunker steps into his house through the kitchen door and takes off his plaid jacket. Heading to the stove, he removes the lid from a pot and ladles up some steaming liquid. He sips from the ladle and makes a sour face. Using a large fork, he reaches into the pot and pulls out a shirt. Archie glares at the kitchen door.
Edith!
Yeah?
Why are you cooking garments?
Edith joins him.
Glory is boiling one of Mike's shirts. The dye in it was giving him a rash.
Why don't you barrel him instead? Dye, give me something to take the taste out of my mouth.
He drinks from her coffee mug.
What'd you make here, instant coffee?
No, it's fresh perked.
And it tastes like instant.
It's fresh perked, though.
Yeah, it's fresh perked, but it tastes like instant.
I heard you, but it's fresh perked.
I accept that it's fresh perked.
Archie opens a box of crackers.
But it tastes like instant, huh?
You're a pip, you know that? A real pip. You got nothing for lunch but crackers here?
Gloria went to the market. You know we always do a big shopping every Saturday morning.
Every Saturday? God forbid one week you do it on a Friday. You gotta watch out for that rigidness there, Edith. It'll warp your whole personality.
He joins Michael in the living room.
Hey, you! Get away from that TV set. You know I watch football highlights every week at this time.
I know, but in a few minutes, Channel 13 is rerunning that special on pollution with Jack Lemmon.
And I want to learn anything about pollution. I don't have to learn it from no millionaire actor. He's got nothing better to do than sit around in his duff dreaming up causes. If he wants to unpollute something, let him unpollute the movies, huh? All them nudies.
Archie, we're always watching football. I think it's important that we learn a little bit about our polluted environment.
You're polluting my environment. Now get away from my set.
Can't we at least sit down like rational people and discuss this?
Discuss? Why would you, as always, everything got to be like a meeting?
Because in a meeting, people sit down together and exchange ideas.
Okay, sit down then, huh? Yeah. Let me hear your idea again.
Okay, I want us to watch Jack Lemmon and a group of famous scientists discuss pollution and ecology on Channel 13.
Good. And I want to watch football highlights on Channel 2. Now, guess what's going to happen?
You're going to watch football highlights on Channel 2.
Meeting adjourned. Hey, Edith, let me have some beer in here, huh?
What do you want, a bottle or a can?
We never buy bottles.
I'll bring you a can.
Oh, what a dingbat.
Archie turns on the TV.
All right, now here it is. Here it is. Now keep quiet. The Giants and the Rams. There they go. Hey, look at that spook run. Oh, can they move? It's in their blood.
If you're talking about a black man, would you call him that, huh? And second of all, what do you mean running like that's in his blood?
Well, it is. It's inherited. He got that from his forefathers. When he was running through the jungle, you know, through thorns and thickets, barefooted with a tiger on his butt.
You know everything about the black man, boy.
Well, more than you. I used to know a whole flock of them in the old neighborhood. Matter of fact, there was a guy, Roundtree Cumberbatch, and him and me used to be close buddies.
You never knew anybody by that name. You just made it up.
I made up a name like Roundtree Cumberbatch?
Yeah. You made it up to put down a black man.
Oh, what are you telling me? That some of your colors don't have funny names, huh?
Oh, yeah, sure they do. Like, Roy Wilkins, Whitney Young, James Baldwin.
Yeah, or Al Jolson.
Edith walks in, opening a can of beer.
I hate of all them guys. They got plenty of your Roundtree Cumberbatches, too. They named them after Pullman cars and railroad stations.
Come on.
Oh, you don't believe me? It's a fact. You can look it up. All right, Edith, leave it there.
Huh? I am back.
It's about time.
Let me help you.
I'll take that. Wait till you see what I got here. That rash you got from the dye, Michael, well, that decided me. From now on, I want to know what's in everything I buy. So I stopped off at the health food store and got some natural foods.
Would you get anything for sandwiches? You can't get anything more natural than bologna. Organic. Eggs, tiger's milk, what's that? Wheat germ oil, decimated liver. What is all this garbage? Where's my crunchy cereal with the animal cutouts on the box?
They'd say there's no nutritional value in that cereal, Dad.
What?
That's right. They just did a study. Nutritionally, that cereal, zilch.
Zilch, huh? Have you any idea the famous athletes and coaches that were brung up on that, huh? And I mean the all-time all-timers. Myself, 40 years I've been eating, and I'm as good shape today as the day I was born. My bowels are regular.
Oh,
what's that? Get out of my way, will you? I'm missing something here. I missed it. It's the play of the week. Alvin Heyman's 88-yard run back, and I missed it. It's your fault.
Why'd you watch that anyway? Michael, didn't you tell him about Jack Lemmon?
Get your hands away from that dial.
All right, for now, we'll just turn down the sound.
Why?
Because I want to say something.
Oh, another meeting. Gee.
Now, Daddy, this set is always tuned to what you want to watch. So just this once, can't you share a little, huh? The special on environment, it's important to Michael and me.
Yeah, because it's tearing the country down. That's what you like, to sit around and watch a bunch of jerks tearing the country down around us.
Archie, pollution is a fact of life, and it's not just America, it's worldwide.
The special with Jack Lemmon.
Now, will you leave me alone about that special, and you know what you can do with your Jack Lemmon?
Yeah, and you know what you can do with your John Wayne.
Yeah, well, what about John Wayne? And before you say anything, let me warn you. When you're talking about the Duke, you ain't just talking about an actor. You're talking about the spirit that made America great.
Are you kidding? Is he kidding?
He'd lay down his life for the Duke. For me, no, the Duke, yeah.
Anyway, Daddy, why can't you watch Jack Lemmon with us? Because we watched John Wayne's TV special with you a few weeks ago.
That was different. The Duke special was all about America, and I mean the real America.
Oh, well, then it must have been all about our racial problems, huh?
Sing Out Sweet Land, it was called, and it was beautiful.
And a crisis in the city.
Must have had 100 stars.
The war in Vietnam.
Sing Out Sweet Land. It was all about what's good with America.
It's all about John Wayne.
Well, John Wayne is what's good with America. That's right.
Gloria rolls her eyes.
I'll tell you something else, wise guy. You can take your Jack Lemmons, your Paul Newmans, and your Marlon Brandons. You put them all together, they ain't fit to hold a Duke's coat.
Archie, any one of those guys got more brains in his little finger than John Wayne's got in his whole body.
Nuts to you.
You don't believe me? Maybe you'll believe the Duke himself.
What?
Excuse me. Young lady, you just happen to be sitting here. Would you be kind enough to ask Mr. John Wayne the question?
Mr. Wayne, is it true that any one of those guys got more brains in his little finger than you got in your whole body?
Michael responds.
I'm afraid so, ma'am.
Very, very funny. Well, let me tell you, Stu, something. You got a very warped sense of humor.
Yeah, I found an old box of crunchies. Well, have some. Show the kids how it pulls you out of a slump. Gloria, I found these with the groceries.
Oh, the airmail stamps are for Michael.
Oh, good, good. I can mail my letter today and it'll get to Washington by Monday.
Washington? Are you writing to Washington?
That's right. Michael wrote the president.
You write to the president about what?
All the things we've been talking about. The pollution of our air, the pollution of our water, the way us housewives have no protection from foods without nutrition, how they make products with harmful things in them. Like, you saw what happened to Michael from that shirt.
Yeah, he got a rash. Wait a minute. You're writing to the president about that? You, Michael Stivnik, meathead, you have the nerve to write to the president of the United States about your rash?
Maybe he knows a good skin man.
Archie. I didn't write about a rash. It's like Gloria said, I wrote about a lot of things. Pollution, race relations, the war in Vietnam.
The war in Vietnam? You better let me see that letter, buddy.
No. This is sealed. It's private and it's personal between the president and me.
I demand to know the contents of that letter.
And I say it's between Nixon and me.
President Nixon.
What's wrong with playing Nixon? Look in the paper. They do it all the time. Nixon this, Nixon that.
That's their business, but in this house, we show the proper respect. You don't like President Nixon, you call him Mr. Nixon.
Or Tricky Dicky. You was calling him that 8 years ago.
8 years ago, he was a civilian. He now happens to be Commander-in-Chief of the United States. And he's doing a good job of it, too. Let me tell you something, wise guy. And Mr. Nixon didn't get us into Vietnam. He inherited it. Just like he inherited inflation and integration and pollution. Or are you going to tell me that Mr. Nixon invented pollution?
No, but what's he doing about it?
Well, what's he doing about it?
Stop it. There isn't a major city in this country where the drinking water isn't below safe standards.
Oh, well, now let me ask you this. Washington, D.C., being one of your major cities, would you say the drinking water there is becoming unsafe?
Yet.
Well, that's where I got both of you. Because if the drinking water in Washington, D.C. is becoming unsafe, do you think that Mr. Nixon would let Tricia drink it? Well, you can't answer that, can you, huh? I'll tell you something, wise guy. You see, you don't understand your basic simplistics. Your biggest problems always burn themselves down to the human factor. I mean to say, the president, after all, is only a man.
Right, and he's in the wrong job.
Was that what you said to him in that letter?
Give me that. What are you doing?
A pipsqueak like you. You have the nerve to insult the commander-in-chief. That's my return address on there. You're insulting President Nixon for my return address? You must have a screw loose.
That's it.
You left-wing, radical, liberal,
Michael and Gloria struggled to take the letter back from Archie. Fighting them off, he climbs onto the dining table to keep it from them.
This letter gets mailed from this house over my dead body.
All right, Archie, come on. Enough's enough. Would you just give me the letter, huh?
Tampering with the United States mail, Daddy, and that's a federal offense.
So is excitement to riot.
The letter is not going to incite anyone to riot. The letter is between a citizen and his government. And I've heard you say it 100 times, Archie, the government works for me.
That's right. I said the government works for me, not you, meathead. The government works for taxpayers and breadwinners and people who contribute to society.
All right, you're such a big contributor. Why don't you write a letter to the president?
Because I got nothing to beef about.
I knew you'd cop out, Daddy.
See, that's it. You just talk a big game, that's all.
Well, I'll tell you what I'll do then.
The last time he wrote a letter was to the phone company.
Edith, stifle yourself.
The language he used.
Edith, I said stifle yourself.
And then he wouldn't sign the letter. I wouldn't have signed that letter neither.
Edith, I told you to stifle yourself.
You're all right to the president?
Yes, I am.
Good. Then you can mail your letter and let me mail mine.
No. No, you don't get this letter to mail till I'm ready to mail mine.
Mail them together.
No. Mine has to go into the mailbox before yours. That way the president reads mine first, he'll be able to stomach yours. Get me our embossed personal stationery, you know, with the initials intertwined there on the top.
Archie, we don't have no writing paper like that.
Edith, our personal stationery. It was a gift from that no-neck cousin of yours works for W.T. Grant. You know, a wedding present.
Oh, Archie, for heaven's sakes, that was 22 years ago.
What difference does it make how long ago it was, huh? You save everything else, you certainly must have saved that. Edith, I can't write to the President of the United States unless I'm going to do it right.
Archie washes his hands and impatiently waits for Edith to dry them off. Later, dressed in a three-piece suit, Archie sharpens a pencil at the dining table.
What are you sharpening a pencil for?
First draft.
Oh, we got ballpoint pens.
Ballpoint pens? I can't write to the president with ballpoint pens. I need real ink. Whatever happened to my Waterman?
Your Waterman?
$15, guaranteed to last me a lifetime.
It must be lasting somebody else's lifetime. We got ballpoint pens.
Look at this stationery. Hercules Plumbing.
That's the company I used to work for before we was married.
And You saved this, huh? And our embossed stationery with the initials intertwined at the top. There it is, gone.
Well, maybe it'll get to the president faster if they think you own a plumbing company.
You little dingbat. Look, let me get started. Go on over there and finish pasting your trading stamps, huh?
That's a good idea. I got almost enough to fill another book. We get 3.5 books, I can buy that bathroom scale.
Please. I hope the kids are out.
Don't worry. They went for a long walk. Nobody's here to bother you.
Archie concentrates.
You'll have absolute silence. Perfect quiet. Nobody going back and forth. Nobody talking.
He glowers at Edith. Then returns to his work.
Dear Mr. President, Your Honor, sir.
He starts to write.
Dear Mr. President.
Edith pounds her fist onto a stamp.
Your Honor.
Archie sees.
Sir, will you stop licking and banging over there? Oh, you're breaking up my whole concentration.
Oh, I'm sorry. What have you got down so far?
Dear Mr. President, Your Honor, sir.
Yeah, go on.
Well, how much more do you expect me to do with you licking and banging over there? Here, I got a good idea. You come over here. Come here. Yeah, come on over. Now you sit down there and you write what I dictate.
Oh, Archie. Oh, I don't know. I'm too nervous. It's to the president.
What are you nervous about? I'm going to do the whole thing. Now, go ahead. You just write what I tell you. Now, what do you got there?
Nothing.
What do you mean, nothing? I wrote a whole introduction.
Dear Mr. President, Your Honor,
oh, sir. That's lousy.
What?
What you read.
That's what you wrote.
I know, but you read it so rotten.
I think it was the words.
Just read them same words over again, will you? Never read them with a little feeling, huh? Go ahead.
Dear Mr. President, Your Honor, sir.
Yes, beautiful words.
I only hope Mr. Nixon reads them that way.
Oh, please, will you? It's tough enough writing a letter to the top man in the whole free world, so just stifle your comments, Sam. Write what I tell you. Don't do nothing more. Now, dear Mr. President, Your Honor, sir, as one of your faithful constitutionals, I... No, that's wrong. Read it back to me again.
She puts her hand over her heart.
Dear Mr.
No, jump over it. I didn't read the new stuff.
As one of your faithful constitutionals.
Wrong.
What?
The word is wrong. Why did you write it down? Oh, all right, Edith, look, there's somebody at the door. Go on, answer the bell and let me in there. And Edith, no matter who it is, we ain't home, huh?
Edith stops at the door with a knit brow.
How am I going to tell him we ain't home if I'm standing there talking?
Archie fumes.
Try.
She opens the door for a nun with a donations can.
Afternoon.
Oh, good afternoon, sister.
We're collecting money for the St. Januarius Underprivileged Children's Hospital.
I think my husband gave at the office.
We don't solicit aid in commercial institutions, just neighborhoods, families.
Oh, I see. Archie, the sister is collecting for the underprivileged children.
I gave at the office.
It must have been a different nun. You do look alike.
Here, please. I need some help. I'm searching for a word.
He's searching for a word. Maybe the sister could help you.
Yeah, maybe she could. Come on in, sister. Step right in. Get out of the way, Edith. Hi, sister. I bet you was wondering what I was doing over there at the table, huh?
No, actually, I was just...
Yeah, well, in case you was wondering what I was doing over there...
I wasn't. Now, if you would...
Would you let me tell you what I was doing over there at the table? Writing a letter to the President of the United States, just as a citizen, to fill him in on how the people of this neighborhood are thinking and feeling, you know.
Yes. Well, I'm sure you know the feelings of this particular constituency.
That's the word. Thank you, sister. Thank you very much. Excuse me, I got to get back to work over here. Edith, give the sister a generous contribution, will you? And Edith, just a minute before you do, come over here. Nothing more than half a buck. No matter what they tell you, most of what you give them, they buy golden candlesticks with it.
Archie hurries back to his letter.
Edith, this is going to be good, you know that? Yeah. I think Mr. Nixon is going to love this.
Gazing at his notepad, Archie daydreams, imagining the presidential podium at a press conference.
Ladies and gentlemen, from the East Room of the White House, the President of the United States.
Archie excitedly watches his TV with Edith, Michael, and Gloria.
My fellow Americans, tonight I want to read you a letter I've just received from a private citizen. It starts, of course, with a highly proper, "Dear Mr. President, Your Honor, Sir." Now let me make one thing perfectly clear. I love that beginning. This citizen writes, and I quote, "I personally don't agree with all the conflagration on the college campuses. Are them ecology nuts who only see disaster in this great country of ours? But like Duke Wayne would say, we came up off the mat before when the going was tough. And I know so long as we all work together, this nation under God shall not diminish from the earth. Anyway, my regards to your vice, Mr. Agnew. And special regards to Mrs. Nixon and Tricia, who I know you wouldn't let drink no water except in the best. This terrific letter was written by Mr. Archie Bunker. And in your president's opinion, Archie Bunker is one great American."
From his ratty old armchair, Archie flashes Nixon's famous peace signs, and his family gathers around him to celebrate. Sitting at the dining table, Archie signs his letter.
Did you finish your letter yet, Daddy?
He had enough time to write the whole Congress.
Now, you keep your pants on, hotshot. This just might be the best letter I've ever wrote to a president.
Good. Let's go mail them.
Oh, no, you don't. If anybody mails these, it's going to be me.
Well, why don't we both go?
Well, it's only a block. We'll all go.
Yeah, I figured we would. Just imagine two letters to the president from one house. That
we better get going.
Every day.
Yeah. Let's go.
Now, wait a minute. Hold your horses, everybody.
Oh, Archie, you go first. Come
on. Holding the two letters, Archie leads the family out the front door. Archie solemnly leads Edith, Gloria, and Michael back into the house. Removing his hat, he holds it over his heart.
That was so thrilling. Imagine two letters to the president from the same house.
Every American ought to write to his president.
Yeah. Feels good being a citizen.
It's wonderful to be involved.
Archie, did you jiggle?
What?
The mailbox. You put the letters in afterwards. Did you jiggle?
Certainly I jiggled. Wait a minute. Did either of you two jiggle?
I didn't jiggle.
I thought you jiggled, Daddy.
Well, I know I do. I always did all my life. I always jiggle, but I don't know. Edith, what do you think we ought to do?
I think we'd better go jiggle.
Why didn't you jiggle me, hey?
You were putting the letters in the box.
I rely on you to do nothing.
The man that mails jiggles.
They all file out the door. Directed by John Rich. Teleplay by Paul Harrison and Lenny Weinrib and Norman Lear. Story by Lee Irwin and Fred Freiberger. Nun played by Helen Page Camp. Associate producer Jane Thompson. Music by Roger Kellaway. Those Were the Days by Lee Adams and Charles Strauss. Based on Till Death Us Do Part, created by Johnny Spite. Art director Don Roberts. Audio Norm Dews.
All in the Family was recorded on tape before a live audience.
Recorded at Television City, Hollywood, California. A Bud York and Norman Lear tandem production. Copyright 1970 Tandem Productions, Inc. A Viacom presentation.